Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord to you. This is Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 1004 North Osage Avenue, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447, where our pastor is Suffragan Bishop Johnny Magnus. Just thanking God for him today, thanking God for the ministries that we have there at the church, and just thanking God for the opportunity to be before you all. It really is a pleasure, and it's an opportunity just to talk about the Word of God and share with you the way that God has shared these things with me. So I'm really excited about some of the things that we're going to be jumping into. And you might be asking yourself, self, what is Brother Pope talking about tonight? So I want to talk to you all this evening about standing before God for myself. Standing before God for myself. And you might think, well, isn't that kind of selfish? You know, we were always taught to go before for other people. So let's break this down really quick and we'll jump in to some scriptures. Don't have very many scriptures this evening, but there's some things I want to share with you. Okay. So there are prayers of petition when we petition God and we ask God for things. And when we request God for things, I think that's absolutely good to do, to go before our Heavenly Father, our Creator, asking God for certain things, to depend on Him, to trust in Him. That's excellent. That's a good thing. There's also, when we talk about petitioning, there's also what we like to call intercessory prayer, or going before the Lord on behalf of other people. So if you look into the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, many times there were people far and wide who would travel great distances to see Jesus, not for their sake, but for the sake of someone else. And there are many different Bible classes where either I or other ministers are breaking down and sharing different examples of many people coming to the Lord. But that is not what we're going to talk about this evening. Again, we could talk about that. And they would go, let's say there were people who were sick, people who needed Jesus for some sort of reason, and yet it, because of the faith of their loved ones, they would travel far and wide on behalf of their loved ones. Jesus would pray for them or pray for the individual because they had faith in themselves and the individual was still healed. Well, Jesus's ministry is still continuing today with the body of Christ, being us, the saints of God. We are, the body of Christ is still alive and well today, in the form of His saints, His children, I should say, His children. We are the body of Christ, and we are still working with the Spirit and still petitioning and asking God to bless our loved ones today. However, this evening is just going to be a little different because we're not talking about other people. There is a time and there's a place to talk about others. I want to talk about you, and I want to talk about me. I want to talk about ourselves. We're going before the Lord. Again, standing before God for myself. So that is the principle this evening. Standing before God for myself. In Philippians, the second chapter, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And again, I said Philippi, but it's actually Philippi. And what a magnificent book this is. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we understand that at this particular time, this is known as a prison epistle. So the Apostle Paul was believed to be in prison at the time, writing or speaking these words as someone else was either writing them or wrote them himself. But these scriptures were going to the church in Philippi. And he's letting them know that they need to work out their own salvation. You might be saying to yourself, well, I thought we weren't saved by our works. Well, we're saved by the works of Jesus, which is the work of salvation. He died for our sins. We're saved by his work, the work of Christ. And so it's by grace that we're saved. But I want you to see again in that latter portion, but now much more in my absence, because notice the church was absent when it came to the Apostle Paul. He says, I want you to work out your own salvation. So even though we're not saved by our works, we're saved by the grace of God. It's by our effort that we still have to work some things out, meaning the emphasis being our own salvation. So I know this may not be very popular because we're living in the days and times where everybody's on the internet. Everyone has a cell phone, it seems, at least in the United States. We are, as it may appear, we are charged by the information of other people. Some of the information may be deemed important, and some of the information would probably be listed under entertainment. It's not very important at all. We seem to be emotionally and socially charged by the goings on of other people. We want to always know what everybody else is doing. We like to be in other people's affairs. We want to know what they're doing, what this person is doing, what that person is doing, even to the point where even little mundane things, like they even have these things now where they will publicly share the personal playlists of celebrities. And yeah, you might say, well, that's kind of interesting. I never knew that. Oh, they like to listen to this. They like to listen to that. Really, it's not really important at all. Well, we like to share what are other people listening to? What are other people reading? We like to, it seems like we just gather so much information, whether it's important or not, whether it's important to our well-being or whether it's pure entertainment. It seems like we're always in the affairs of other people. Well, when it comes to your spiritual life and my spiritual life, the main thing, the priority is that we get ourselves right with God. Every one of us has a personal account with Jesus Christ. Every one of us has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute. Does that mean a person who does not know Christ, a person that does not know God, do they have a relationship with Jesus? Absolutely, they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it may be a bad relationship with Jesus Christ, because we're going to be judged in the end based on that relationship that we have. That's how important this is. So everyone has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the way that I'm saying this is, normally we term a relationship as having a good relationship or a good pending relationship with Jesus Christ. So the way that I'm explaining this is, even an atheist in some respects has a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we just look at a relationship as a blanket statement or in a vague terminology, because everyone has a certain status. Now, whether you have a good status or a bad status, that's between you and God. That's between me and God. So I want you to know that everyone has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone's relationship is good. Not everyone has a close-knit relationship. Not everyone knows him the way that the church or the way that his children ought to know him. But I just want to point out that the Apostle Paul is writing, he's writing to the Philippian church, letting them know, look, I'm away from you right now. I'm not with you right now. I'm absent from you right now. So you're going to have to work out your own salvation. You're going to have to get saved for yourself. You're going to have to prove and have a relationship with God for yourself. Yes, I have ministers under me. I'm just paraphrasing as Paul would probably relate this. Yes, I probably have ministers under me who are with you at the time. Yes, I have set something up so that you can have church services, but I cannot be with you at the time. So you're going to have to work that out for yourself. And that should be something that we need to learn for ourselves. You know, many of us are saved today by brothers and sisters in the Lord who have gone on, who are dead in Christ right now, who are no longer with us. Many of us are saved today by our mothers, our fathers, uncles, aunts. They were mother figures, father figures in the church that drew us into the church, that brought us into the church. But we cannot base our salvation on their status. Well, because mom is saved, I'm saved. Because dad is saved, I'm saved. Yes, it's a good thing. And for a certain respect, their prayers can cover us up to a point. But there's a certain area that we have to get in God, and we have to do this for ourselves. I think it's a blessing to be a child of God. It's a blessing to have your natural mother or your natural father in the church and alive and well and worshiping God. But that alone is not going to save me. That alone is only going to go so far in our life. Again, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church, he's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And no, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but in this type of fear, it was talking about reverence. So we ought to reverence God, knowing that every word that we speak, everything that we say is being written down. It's being recorded. And yeah, I understand that we're living in a times where when there's an atrocity that happens, where there is a national injustice that happens when it comes to, you know, people like to talk about people of color and certain people on police force, and people have made it a thing. Well, just, you know, make sure you have your phone out. Make sure you record what's being done. Well, I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. Regardless of whether that police officer has a security camera, regardless of that police officer has that camera that's being able to see whatever action that's being done, regardless if you have your cell phone out that's being able to record that situation, it don't matter, because there's something that's even more deeper than that. So even without video cameras, even without audio recordings, even without any type of device that is recording naturally, there's spiritual, if you may, there are spiritual recordings happening. Everything that you or I have ever done in our whole entire life will be brought before God in judgment. Now, there are different types of judgments, but we understand that the church is going to be judged a little bit differently, because we're going to be judged by our works. But according to the scriptures, we're not going to be in the white throne judgment, because our works, in a sense, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to our life, we're already judged with Jesus Christ on the cross. So you might say, well, Brother Pope, are you making this up? Absolutely not. This is biblical, because the Bible also says that we are justified by faith, right? So justified is actually legal terminology. I had a professor who once taught me, Dr. Herbert Damali. He has since passed on. He was an he used to be in the military, and he also used to be a paramedic. But he got, you know, he got saved, and he, according to his belief, and he always taught us that justified, another word for justified is justified never sinned. Justified never did this. Justified never did that. Well, anyway, we are justified by faith, meaning that according to God's judgment, in the white throne judgment, I would be deemed unworthy. I would be cast in the lake with fire and brimstone, with the devil and his and the third of the angels, I would be in that same category because hell hath enlarged itself. But now that I'm justified, meaning a legal terminology, meaning I'm now declared righteous, not by my own works, but by Jesus Christ, by the works of Jesus Christ. So now, even before judgment, I'm already declared righteous if I continue in the faith. Let's go on, because there's a second part of that scripture too. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So this isn't your works. It's not my works. Once we're saved, once we're in the ark of safety, once we repent of all of our sins, once we are baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, once we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence with the speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives utterance, we have now received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have now received salvation. Excuse me. And it's up to us to continue in the faith. It's up to us to walk in the Spirit. Okay. So it's God who's working this thing out for us. It is not us. It is God who is working this thing out for us. So let's not forget that. So we got some other scriptures to talk about. Let's go into Acts, the second chapter, verse number 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You've got to learn. The writer of the book of Acts, we believe to be Luke, is writing about the history of the church. He is writing about the works or the acts of the church and the acts of the apostles. And he's saying he is writing what is being written by the early apostles. And the early apostles, they're saying, and I believe this is Peter who's actually speaking, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So again, we have the concept and the principle of working out our own salvation. And now the apostle Peter is telling the early church, or people who are yet to be saved, because they weren't saved at the time before that was written, remember? Because at this particular time, these people were pricked in their heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they wanted to be saved. And now Peter has to tell them what they need to do in order to be saved. So he's telling them, save yourselves. You need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. He's telling them what they need to do in order to be saved, but he's saying, you need to save yourself. Save yourself. Now, again, I want my mother, everybody in my life, my brothers and sisters, I want everybody to be saved. I want the people that I work with to be saved. I want everyone to be saved. I want my neighbors to be saved. I want the strangers that I bump into to be saved. I want the people at the grocery store to be saved. Regardless of what color they are, regardless of what their socioeconomic background is, regardless of what their birth origin is, I want everybody to be saved. That should be my will. I want everybody to be saved. But before I do all this talking about everybody else, before I try to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, before I testify with them, I have to have a testimony myself. You can't share a testimony of what God has done for you if you don't even have a testimony to begin with. So first, we need a testimony. And this is what I see in the mainstream media. This is why I see one of the main things when I see when I watch other services a lot. You've got to learn how to have a relationship with God for yourself. I've got to stand before God for myself. And everything that I've ever done in my own body, I've got to give an account for. And that's why a pastor is so vital, because they also have to give an account for their flock. They have to be able to teach the truth and preach the gospel and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the flock. And that's why I thank God for the different ministries that is in our own local congregation. Save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. Run if you have to. We should be running to the church. We should be asking more about Jesus. And even if you say, but Brother Pope, I'm immobile, I can't physically move the way that I used to move, then we ought to be trying to get more of Jesus. We ought to be calling people up and talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. We ought to be praying daily, trying to get in touch with Jesus for ourselves. Have you gotten in touch with Jesus for yourself? We all have to do this for ourselves. We need to save ourselves. Now, in face value, I cannot literally save myself, or else I would have no need of a savior. When you read the book of Romans, Paul is writing to both Gentiles, and he is writing about the Jewish people as well, letting everyone know that we're all in need of a savior. The Gentiles have need of a savior. The Jewish people have need of a savior. But that is the one commonality that puts us all in the same boat. We are all in need of a savior. We're all in need of a savior. Whether you're a homosexual, whether you're in prison, whether you are living an adulterous lifestyle or adulterous relationship, whether you are committing thievery and taking things that don't belong to you, whether you're a liar and all you do is tell lies and it's very difficult for you to tell the truth, whether you're addicted to substances, alcohol, nicotine, cocaine, even caffeine, whatever it is, and you have a bad habit, maybe a habit of gambling, and or maybe you're just doing things continually that are outside the will of God. All that sin, what I'm saying to you is Jesus Christ died for you that you can be set free. You can be made free. Won't you receive him? Don't you know? Save yourself. Save yourself. Regardless of who you are, save yourself. You got to say, run. God wants to save you. He wants to make you clean. You don't have to do that with your body any longer. You don't have to do that with your body anymore. You don't have to sin with your body. That's the body that God gave you. God created that body. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created your body. And if you have the Holy Ghost, that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we ought to possess the temple that we have very delicately. We can't do everything that everybody else is doing. We can't say everything that everybody else is saying. We can't go where everybody else is going. Why? Because we have the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why? How serious is that? Oh, it's very serious, man and woman of God. It's so serious that during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was still dealing with the natural temple, he had to drive those that were doing evil and those that were taking advantage of people. He had to drive all that evil out of the temple because the temple was supposed to be holy. We might say, well, Jesus is mean because he took those whips and he drove everybody out. That's mean. No, that wasn't meanness. He was doing that out of love. He didn't want that temple to be corrupted. And in today's time, you might say, well, Brother Pope is mean. He's saying that, no, that's the power of God working through the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he doesn't want you to be wrapped up in that sin. He's trying to drive that evil out of an unclean, he's trying to drive that evil out of the temple still, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's trying to drive all that out because he loves us so much. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't drive the evil out. If he didn't love us, he'd still allow us to remain in our sins. If he didn't love us, we'd still be in the same position, in the same condition that we've always been in, but we're changed, right? And it didn't take much for Jesus Christ to show us how much he loved us. Well, it's even within the first miracle, or the first recorded miracle that we have in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. He turned one substance into another substance. He transformed one thing into another thing. And he's still doing that today. He's still transforming our lives today for the better, for the better. And I thank God that I'm not in the same condition that I was in. You know, I thank God that I can live a holy life. I thank God that I can worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, and so it's very important. It's very important. Save yourself, save yourself, save yourself. Run. And I know that might sound kind of selfish, but when it comes to budgeting, when it comes to budgeting financial things, we have what is called a budget, a list of financial obligations. And normally right up at the top, we'll put those things that are the most important. You know, normally our tithes are right up there, and normally we have our other big budget things. And as we look at our financial budget, normally, you know, if you normally manage your own financial budget, normally the things at the end are the things that you can do without, right? Well, I want us to look at our spiritual lives right now, if you may, through a spiritual budget. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse number 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice what Jesus Christ himself says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that's how important when it comes to our salvation, that's how important these things are. We have to, again, we talked about working out our own salvation. We talked about saving ourselves from this untoward generation. And now Jesus Christ himself is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." One of the things I can't stand is somebody telling me to do a bunch of stuff and you didn't even do it. So, and we can see even in scriptures that that is also a principle even in God. You know, we talked about, well, if you were familiar with the parable, the five wise versions and the five foolish, well, the five that were wise, when they needed oil for their lamps, they went to get it for themselves. And then the foolish said, "Well, give me your oil." And the wise women, they were the ones that said, "No, look, if I give you of my oil, I'm not going to have any enough for myself." Now, somebody might say, "Well, that's rude. That's rude." No, when we talk about spiritual things, I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. When we talk about spiritual things, let's get ourselves right with God first. Let's get ourselves right with God first. The first and foremost thing, let me get myself saved first. Let Jesus save me first. Now that I'm saved, now I can have a testimony. Now I can share my story with this person or that person. Now I can try to pray so that someone else can be saved. But we have to internalize this thing first. Sometimes we get it backwards. You know, we try to, you know, look in all everybody else's business first, and then we try to look in our own business. That's not how it goes. So let's save ourselves from this untoward generation. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things are going to be added unto us. Now, I said earlier that it's a little bit different than natural things. Now, it's different. Like for natural things, if my soul is together and now I have a connection with Jesus, you know, if there are things, natural things that my brothers or sisters need, yeah, we are to prefer our brothers and sisters higher than ourselves. The Bible even talks about us being subject to the prophets, you know, talking about the gifts of the church. Let them be, you know, let's be subject, because we ought to prefer our brothers and sisters before ourselves when it comes to natural things. You know, I want to see them get blessed first before me. I want to see them being helped before me. You know, if we're in a crowded room and let's say everyone's going to be eating, I want to see you eat first before me. I want to see you blessed before me. That should be the pattern that we show our love. We're preferring our brothers and sisters before ourselves. But spiritually, when it comes to our connection with Jesus Christ, nope. I want to save myself. I want to save myself. Let me get saved first. I want to know Jesus for myself first, and then I can help my brothers and sisters. Isn't that the principle that Jesus, when he was talking to, Peter, you know, and he was letting them know, look, when he let them know, look, I want you to strengthen your brethren once you're converted. When you're converted, then you can strengthen your brothers, but you can't. Like that's the order of things. Get yourself right with God first. Let's get ourselves right with God first. Again, we are talking about standing before God for myself. And yes, there is a time to petition for others. There's a time to intercede for others. There's a time to ask for things for others. But don't forget about you. When it comes to the Spirit, Lord, don't forget about me, Jesus. Don't forget about me. And that should be the order of things that we roll this out. Now, my last set of scriptures, I want to go to Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 4. But let every man prove his own work. See, notice it's that same principle of getting ourselves right with God first, right? And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, when we're talking about burden, if you have a strong concordance, that word burden, ergon, also means that which displays itself in activity of any kind, deed, action, or a deed or accomplishment. So our deeds. So let's look at that again now that we have this understanding. They're just deeds. These are actions. So again, looking at the word burden, but let every man prove his own. And actually, it wasn't the word burden. It was actually the work. But let every man prove his own deeds or accomplishments. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. But it goes first that we have to prove our own deeds, our own work first. And again, our own work isn't even ours because it belongs to Jesus. If you look in Revelation, the 24 elders, I really believe this is the church, as they were gifted with crowns, as they begin to glorify God, and as they began to worship God, they decided that they were going to cast their crowns that they were given. They were given those crowns, but they decided to cast their crowns before God. Why so? Because I believe they realized that we wouldn't even have these crowns. They don't really belong to us. They belong to God. And even today, our works, not really my works. It's just the Holy Ghost, because I've allowed the Holy Ghost. I've allowed God to work in me. You've allowed God to work in you. So that's when people see the works that you do, you don't take that credit. I don't take that credit. But all that work, we point to Jesus. He gets the glory. That's why the Bible says to the glory of God the Father, right? Because he gets the glory for all that work. He's the one doing the work. And why shouldn't it be any different in Revelation? You know, the 24 elders gave glory to God because they realized that, wait a minute, he's the one that allowed us to get these crowns. He's the one that allowed me to go through. I was just relying on the Holy Ghost this whole time. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't be able to keep a marriage. I wouldn't be able to raise a family. I wouldn't be able to have a decent relationship with anyone, because I would not be able to know how to communicate with anyone. But it's because of the Holy Ghost where I'm able to have a good relationship with my friends, my families, my loved ones, and those who I work with, those who I go to church with. It's the Holy Ghost. He gets all the credits. Jesus gets all the credit, all the credit. It's none of me, none of James. James, my filthiness is as a filthy rag. Even at my best, I still come up short. So we got to realize that every one of us, we have to go before God for ourselves. We have to go before God for ourselves. We have to go before God for ourselves. And you may have, I'm basically done, but I just want to reiterate that, you know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to talk about anybody. If any of the things that I discussed today closely resembles or something that you may be going through, oh, Brother Pope is just picking. No, Brother Pope is not. I don't know your life like that. I'm just trying to depend on God and just count it as God trying to get your attention, or God trying to get my attention. You are going to have to go before the Lord for yourself. I am going to have to go before the Lord for myself. So I just want to leave that with you. You can make it if you want to make it. You know, are you in sin right now? Are you doing some things that are, you know, that is not right with God? Maybe you're in a relationship that is not right with God, and you're struggling with how to cope with that, or what you should do. You can repent. You can feel sorry about that relationship that you're in, and you can cut that relationship off, and you can turn to Jesus. There's a way in God. There's a way in God. The Bible says, let him that steals steal no more. Did you take something that don't belong to you? Give it back. Give it back. You know, apologize. But well, if I apologize, I'm going to get in trouble. So be it. So be it. You know, God is good. You know, we live in a day and age where nobody wants to take accountability for anything. And we blame everybody else. And I believe that when it comes to being persecuted for Jesus' sake, when it comes to being in the body of Christ and being done wrong for the name of Jesus, just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Now, there's some times when there is a certain leading where the Spirit of God will lead us to do certain things. I understand that. There are specific, and God is very, very, how should I say this? He is very strategic. He is very effective when it comes to dealing with his people. But most of the time, you know, when we go through, it's not about calling the tabloids, this, that, and the other. It's not about getting people told and all that. Where are the people that are just supposed to take it? Just take it. Just take it. They're over there. They're getting paid more than me. And because I mentioned the name of Jesus, I'm not getting paid more than them. I'm the same amount as them. Take it. Take it. Well, I'm being discriminated against because of my testimony. I'm being discriminated against because of my personal beliefs. Take it. Because if you sound out with a trumpet, all the things, poor is me, poor is that, it's not fair, it's not, that's your reward right there. I don't want that just to be my reward. I don't just want your sympathy. You know, sympathy's okay. Sometimes, you know, if you're going through and somebody finds out something, sometimes God can work through that. But no, I don't want that just to be my reward. If I'm going through, I want it to count. And so, there's a laundry list of different things in the scriptures. If you look in Matthew chapter number 6, you know, there's some tough scriptures in there too. If any man asks for, thy cloak, give him thy coat also. That's a tough one, right? Or if you're wearing an expensive coat, you know, well, the Bible said to give it to him. And then not only to give what they're asking for to that person who's in need, but to also give more. That's Bible. No, we don't, we like to skip, in today's time, we like to skip over that, you know. And the Bible talks about that. We ought to let people, you know, do good to them that despitefully use you. And I'm not talking about abuse situations. Now, abusing situations and situations involving physical abuse, emotional abuse, you know, sexual abuse like that, I do believe that the authorities need to get involved. The Bible talks about that the powers that be are ordained of God. Look in Romans chapter number 13. Don't let somebody spiritually or emotionally manipulate you and try to. And that's another thing. We probably need to set up a whole Bible class one day against false doctrine and how people use false doctrine to manipulate the people who are in the church. Don't let people twist the scriptures to try to keep abusing you or keep manipulating you. No, there are certain authorities that we can go to. You are staying in scripture. The Bible says that these authorities are ordained of God. So you can, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you've been vandalized, there's certain times when it's okay. Let them know. Let the police know what's going on. Let the police know. But there's also times when God will allow us to say, you know what, I'm going to step back. I forgive you. And now I'm just going to let the Lord do what he has to do. I forgive you. And I'm praying for, you know, that the Lord forgives you. And I'm praying that you seek God for repentance and forgiveness. But I forgive you. So I'm going to turn you on the cheek. But, you know, in God, there's still a judgment. So, in fact, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But we have to learn how to go through. I've been thinking about doing a part two because I got a lot of good feedback for the one message that we taught about how to go through. I might go ahead and talk a little bit more about that at another time, but because we really do need to know how to go through the right way. I don't want to go through, or I don't want to go through in vain, and I don't want to have gone through not having what I've done to go in vain. I want it to count, don't you? You're going to have to go before the Lord for yourself. I'm going to have to go before the Lord for myself. My dad, my dad, bless his heart, he's since passed, and he can't go before the Lord for me. He's got to go before the Lord for himself. My mom, she's going to have to go before the Lord for herself. Me, I'm going to have to go before the Lord for myself. As much as I love my kids, as much as I love my wife, as much as I love my neighbors and my coworkers, I have to go before the Lord for myself, and you have to go before the Lord yourself. I don't want to be lost. It is possible to teach all the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach all these good things, and die and go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Paul talked about that. It is possible. He said, no. I don't want that to happen to me. So I have to make sure I get it right for myself. And once I get it right for myself, I'm able to impart it to others and share my testimony. So, okay, that's it. That's all I have. I'm just going to go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and dismiss. But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for giving us the principle of going before the Lord for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome responsibility. You loved us so much. And we want to thank you for this truth that you've given us, that everything that we do, everything that we think is being written down. It's going to be brought up again unless we give these things over to the Lord now so that we don't have to suffer judgment later. I'd rather receive grace now, Lord, because of what you've done on the cross for me, so that I don't have to go and suffer that same punishment in an eternal lake of fire. Lord, help us right now so that we don't have to go through the second death, Lord, that eternal fire. Help us, Lord, to get this thing right with you. Help us, Lord, so that we to go before you for ourselves right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. You all have a blessed evening.